All right, somebody I wanted to catch up with. I'm going to bring on board here in a second. But maybe you watched high school football over the weekend. Perhaps you saw one of the championships. There was a lot going on. And, you know, I think in a lot of places, especially still those small schools, it binds a community. It is the lifeblood of it, and it's super, super important. One of those places is, for sure, the City of Prayer, Clairton, Pennsylvania. Let me welcome in their coach right now, Wayne Wade. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Hello, Colin. How are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for asking. You got a championship, another one, just the other day. And I did want to talk to you. I mean, we could talk about the defense. We could talk about the lopsided scores. But I think it's always – I don't think. It's always impressed me the focus that you folks have had in Clairton about molding young men and making sure that they understood that this was something bigger. How big is that to you, Wayne?
That's the biggest part of it, Colin, is, you know, turning these young men into men or having them understand what it takes to be a young man and going into adulthood. We get the kids when they're about 13, 14 years old to they're 17 or 18, and, you know, we try to shape and mold them and get them to understand that through the game of football.
There's a couple places that still exist, and, you know, some are in suburbs, some are in towns like yours. And I'll be honest, I think Duquesne used to be like this when they had a school, and Clairton's like this, where you have second and third graders. They look at your varsity team like they're the Steelers. How important is that to you at a place like Clairton?
It's huge for our community, for the kids to look up to the high school program, to have the success we're having. Most of those kids want to be a part of that. It's almost a tradition every year to have some of our Little League players become our managers for the high school team during the year. So, you know, we look forward to those kids coming out and wanting to be a part of the program, and it's super exciting.
Wayne Wade, Clairton coach, just off a state championship, joining right here on KDK. Let me ask you this question. It's kind of twisted in a way, but they have so much success Clairton football has had. How do you make sure kids are able to withstand a little failure if that happens in life? After they become 18, 19 years old, or maybe they don't get a job, or maybe they don't get in the school they want to. How do you prepare them for failure through football?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into coaching. And not all of it is success. You know, we have failures in practice. You know, some of the kids have failures in school with their grades, maybe a test. You know, all of that is a part of our coaching staff, and our season, whether it be in season or out of season. So we try to preach and teach all the time that in life you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have good times and failures. You know, you're going to have to deal with those type of things. And it happens in the game of football, and it just kind of carries over for these young men in life.
I don't want to be too harsh or too forward, but or try to make a movie out of this, Wayne, but for some kids in the economic situation or some things they got going on, it isn't too much to say football is their ticket out. Is that still true with some kids?
Yes, it is. With most kids, you know, the possibility of going to university or college, having it paid for is extremely important to most of the kids within Clairton. And then having that opportunity to, you know, fulfill a lifelong dream of possibly playing in the NFL, you know, and making millions of dollars and changing not only their lives, but their families' lives. It's huge. And to be able to do it through the sport of football is huge for our kids in our community.
How do you make sure to block out the knuckleheadedness, the violence, the street stuff, all of that? Because you can only have those kids at practice. You can only have them during the games. How do you make sure that being part of a football program and a football team is sort of a gateway to stay away from that stuff, Wayne?
So we create that culture and that climate within the team, and we set those expectations early. So when we get back in the weight room in February, those expectations are set. We've kind of did that in Clairton over the last 15 or 20 years with our success. So that has been become a staple of our program. So we preach and teach that every day that we have time with the kids. letting them know what the expectation is, what it should look like, and what success looks like, not only in football, but in life. And, you know, when you create that and you start winning and the kids can see it manifest in their life, not only on the field, but off the field, then, you know, it turns into a winning program.
What kind of real life, honest to goodness role model has Tyler Boyd been for so many of those kids? Hell, the stadium's named after him.
Correct. And I think just him being a part of our program, coming through our Little League program, coming through our high school program, and the kids being able to relate to him and his situation. You know, I don't know if the fans out there know that, you know, Tyler, his senior year, his family had a house fire and they were displaced. And the whole community rallied around his family, helping him be able to stay in Clareton and finish his senior year at Clareton. So those type of things, you know, that Tyler has had to go through, it only gives the kids that vision and understand if they commit like he committed, they could be successful as well. And we had that this year.
Let me ask you this last thing for you. We're talking to Wayne Wade, the Clareton coach. They come off another state championship, and it's a place that just turns out players. It turns out a program, and they're not getting people to move to Clareton. This isn't a private school, and they're putting it on teams. Do you ever stop for a moment and say, I might not get super rich doing this. I might not make a ton of money, and it might not make my bank account fat, Wayne, but I get a payoff by being able to mold young men, and that's enough for me. Do you ever stop for a moment and understand your role in all of this?
Yes, I do. And the reason I understand that is because I was once one of those kids in this community. I was born and raised in Clareton, has played all my sports in Clareton as far as basketball, baseball, and football. Was a three-sport athlete. I received a Division I scholarship playing Clareton football, went off, you know, got my degree from the University of Akron, had a chance to play some professional football in Canada and arena football, and it was my mission that all of those folks who were there to help me, to guide me, to mold me, to shape me into the person that I am today, that I come back to the same community and give back. Like you said, it's not a lot of money. I'm not going to get rich being the Clareton head football coach, but it's a lifelong thing for me to be able to help my community. And even if I moved on, say to a college or a university to coach, or possibly in the NFL or something like that to coach, my heart will always be in Clareton, and I will always be looking to give back to that community.
Give me one more Saturday Duquesne-Clareton game at 1 o'clock, and man, people who didn't see that never saw anything, I'm telling you. That was the best rivalry in the Whippeal.
Yes, and there's still conversations that go on. Just the other day, I had a phone call from a Duquesne alum, friend of mine, and he was just kidding, but he brought it up. Well, if Duquesne was still head of high school, you know, I don't know if you would have got this state championship. So it's always a conversation. It used to be a great rival playing Duquesne, not only in football, but basketball and baseball as well. And we missed that. At times I still wish we had that. But we have it in our Little League. So I don't know if you ever been out. Our Little League still plays Duquesne's Little League program. And it's just as packed as our high school games to come to those Little League games.
Fantastic stuff. Wayne, you're a good man. You're a leader in a community that needs leaders, and it's appreciated by so, so many. Great stuff. Great stuff this season. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate you for having me on.
Absolutely. Oh, well, hello. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. So we'll hear from Rich Fitzgerald in just a little bit. He's on every Monday. He's executive director of Southwest PA Commission. I do want to talk to him about some different interesting things, not just the airport all the time. That seems like that's what everybody wants to talk to him about. That Wayne Wade interview, the answers were better than the questions. He was super, 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 super stuff. And I'll get back into that Penn Hill story coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll also hear from Mike Tomlin coming up. So there is a ton here. I'm trying to read my own writing here. What did I have written down? Oh, this tax hike stuff. And David Bolorado has it, and he's been talking about this. Barb Warrick outlined the numbers.
We are looking at a $30 million shortfall. We need to put at least $10 million into our fleet. Our utility bills, just like everyone else's utility bills, are through the roof.
Like, she's not wrong in any of that stuff. But here's the thing, and why it won't pass, is what has to happen is you got to do it the other way. She's doing it the inverse. That's got to be a last-ditch thing. Okay? And she's talking about for city residents. If you're just tuning in right now, Barb Warrick, Councilman Barb Warrick, tomorrow plans to introduce legislation that would raise real estate taxes by 30%. Good luck. That needs to be last-ditch. What has to happen was, and maybe you could get some people to warm up to this, go up and down, back and forth, right and left, left and right, every single job in the city and ask if it's needed or not. Ask if there's any fat that needs to be trimmed. That's the first thing you need to do. You don't want to lay anybody off, particularly around the holidays. But business is business. You want to affect the least amount of people as possible. And you want to make sure that there are different things that are, well, as streamlined as possible. The last thing people want to hear is that you're going to pass the buck on to them. That's just insane. If you want to have that on the back burner, you want to have a plan formulated after you go through every single line item and every single office, okay, that's great, that's fine. But what you can't do at all is come up with that as your first pitch. That can't be the one you come out of the gate with, because people are just going to say no, including the other people who are on city council. That's not good enough. So this is never going to pass. Now, case in point, you have $100,000, your house is assessed at $100,000, which nobody's is. That would be $20.17 a month, $242 a year. So for people that have their house assessed at $200K, it's an extra $500 a month. Or excuse me, $500 a year. They don't want to deal with that. They're not going to deal with that. They're not going to go for it. And they're going to crow about it to the nth degree. And I don't begrudge them at all. 866-391-1020, Rich Fitzgerald in just a little bit. We'll hear from Cam Hayward before we get out of here, and Mike Tomlin, and somebody wants to know if you want them to continue in their job, and they're putting it up to a vote. I have never, ever, ever seen this before. Not in my whole life. What a weird situation. It means it's going to be cold, Larry, is what it means. At least that's my guess. I'm not a meteorologist, but that's my guess. All right, as we do every week at about this time, every Monday at about this time, we welcome in from the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, Executive Director Rich Fitzgerald. Hi, Rich.
Good afternoon, Colin. Staying warm?
I am staying warm. Extra blanket on the bed, fireplace going. Are you one of those people? You know, my wife is such a worrywart, and I make fun of her, but she worries so much that things never happen. I bet tonight she drips the faucet a little bit and opens up the cupboards, like, you know, how like old ladies do that. I'm not calling my wife an old lady, but she acts like one.
Don't you dare. My wife does a similar thing. And I learned that trick from my grandmother, which was big on doing that, making sure that the faucet ran so that nothing would freeze. Yes, maybe that's a Pittsburgh thing. I don't know.
Maybe it is. You know what else Margo and I were talking about not too long ago? We were talking about Christmas cookies and putting a slice of bread in the tin of Christmas cookies. Does your wife do that too?
No, she does not. She makes a lot of Christmas cookies and distributes some. In fact, we're getting ready to make our Christmas cookies for the our office party coming up in another week or so. But no, I had not heard that one.
Yes, it's supposed to keep them more fresh. It's supposed to keep them fresher longer. Slice of bread in there. How about that?
Isn't that what Tupperware or some other type of things you're supposed to do?
Yeah, well, you throw it in with a Tupperware or with a tin right inside of it. Yes.
Interesting. I did hear you talking about Buckeyes before, and you're 100% right. You feel immediately like, as much as you love them, that's not exactly the best thing for you.
Oh, they're incredible. You know, I was reading through the website, it was maybe a couple days ago, at the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, and one thing I don't think we talk about enough, and something I think you need to relay to the listeners, is the kind of the freight plan and the amount of freight that we move just regionally, whether it's something that's made here in Western Pennsylvania and moved to somewhere else, whether it's ready to be shipped out of town or whatever. We have a regional freight plan that's super important to our area and a logistic chain that is really organized that I think people just, they don't really see it churning and working every day, Rich.
Well, I think you're 100% right, and we do have a freight department within the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, which is really important. And because of where we in Southwestern Pennsylvania are geographically located, our freight as well as our river ports are huge in, as far as, you know, access to the Midwest, access to the Northeast, and even access as you head south. So a lot of products flow through us. In many ways, and provide an awful lot of jobs. You think about even Amazon and some of these kind of new way of retail is happening. They've built a lot of logistics centers within our region.
Is that something that's going to continue? Because I read, what's it called, last mile or whatever, where something's delivered that it needs to get from that kind of that house, that, you know, the warehouse to your door and things like that. It doesn't feel like those jobs are going away anytime soon. And even more so, the stuff that we get delivered to our home or is moved, there's going to be even more of those jobs.
There are more of those jobs. And it's also interesting as Pittsburgh in this region has become part of autonomous vehicles, meaning autonomous trucks, and they're building this huge test track out in Westmoreland County to attract other companies that are going to be doing this and how they do it. Now, while you may not have a driver behind the wheel in the truck, you will still need somebody probably in the back of the truck to be part of distributing the products, as you said, that last mile. But I think because of where we are geographically located with so much of the markets that we're able to reach, it's going to continue to be an opportunity for people in this region.
I've gone round and round, Rich, even with some of my friends about this whole Waymo situation, the autonomous vehicle stuff, and I know we've talked about it, and this sort of fear factor that it's going to take everybody's job. But my take has always been it's going to create different jobs that are that kind of run parallel and adjacent to that field that we've never seen before.
I think you're exactly right. And historically, we have heard this really throughout the industrial age, that automation is going to replace jobs. And quite frankly, it does in some ways. I mean, you think about jobs that we used to have. We used to have people called elevator operators, right? And somebody would press the button or turn the crank to get you up and down in our high-rise buildings as they were being built. Well, obviously, those jobs are no longer there, but that doesn't mean it's not replaced by people who service things like that. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. And as autonomous vehicles and autonomous machinery comes about, you're going to need people to fix them and repair them and install them and do other things. So there often is a growth, but there's no question there is a displacement, and it happens.
And which one wins out over the other, do you think?
It's hard to say. I mean, we certainly experience this in this region with the steel industry, you know, four decades ago when automation as well as foreign competition came in and really devastated, you know, the steel industry. We've seen it within, say, the coal industry as, again, more autonomous machines can do the work of what, you know, used to be done manually. So these things occur over time. They occurred in the agricultural industry, you know, when everything was done by hand and then automation came about. So it's the natural order of things, and you're not going to stop it. It's not like you can say, okay, we're not going to do this, because if we don't, somebody else will.
Can you just characterize it, maybe just a thumbnail or whatever it might be, the amount of hours, the amount of attention, the amount of detail that was put in before they put one Waymo car on the road here in Western Pennsylvania, because some people think this is a fly-by-night, willy-nilly, oh, throw them out there. It's been very comprehensive, correct?
They actually started the autonomous robotics at Carnegie Mellon University back in the late 70s. So obviously we are talking almost a half a century that they have been working on the technology, the perfection of it. And obviously we're still not there yet. We're still in the developmental stage. But when you look in the Pittsburgh region, the fact that we have over 100, I think 125 or 130 robotics companies that have spun out of Carnegie Mellon University. So you see that the growth that is going to occur. Now, not every one of them is going to be successful. There will be failures and winners and losers along the way, as any technology will have happened. But there's opportunities in that industry for a lot of young people who, you know, want to do those type of things, for opportunities for jobs.
I'll leave you with this. I got a lot of emails in kind of feedback on social media and direct messages and things that said something not talked about enough with this Waymo and with autonomous vehicles, especially as it pertains to Uber and ride sharing, is there are a lot of young ladies, and you know this having daughters, who don't want to get in a car by themselves with a man. And that can offset this, Rich.
I think you're absolutely right. And the fact is, I mean, not every Uber driver or Lyft driver is going to be, you know, a wonderful employee or a wonderful individual. So to get into a Waymo, and I know Larry Richard has talked about this, the experience he's had in using it in a couple different cities, how it's really worked very well. And you're right. Certain segment of the population, maybe elderly people, whoever, are going to feel safer in getting into a vehicle that's not going to talk back, or maybe, you know, unfortunately, maybe do some bad things.
Yep. Great, great stuff. Buckeyes, stay away from I eat four or five and I feel like a slob, but they have an addictive agent in them, Rich.
There's not just them, but all Christmas cookies. And as we go into the season, all the temptations that occur to enjoy a good, just like we did with Thanksgiving. But yes, you try to show discipline. Sometimes I do. But many times I don't.
Yeah, so. It's tough. We'll talk next week. You're the best. Appreciate it, and be well.
I'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Colin.
Absolutely. Rich Fitzgerald, what a wonderful man. So much more to get into. We'll hear from Cam Hayward in just a little bit. We'll also hear from Mike Tomlin. Not to make this a big, heavy football show, but pretty big win for the Steelers. Let me bring to you, after a big Steelers win, 27-22, the AFC North leading Steelers. Give a listen, and I'll grab your calls in just a little bit, to Cam Hayward.
Coach, week in and week out on how we can get better, you know, make adjustments, continue to grow, and just try to be a team on the rise.
Cam, what to say about the defense? Were you guys able to finish this game?
Says we are combative as hell. You know, we give up some points. Was it pretty? No, but when it came down to the plays, we made them. Fourth down stop, a couple times holding them the field goal, and then getting off late in that game. It's a team effort. We don't care how it gets done. We're not concerned with, you know, awards or anything. We're just trying to get W's out here.
A lot of outside noise this week after last week's game, the fire Tom of Chance. How did you guys kind of channel that, if at all, this week, and how important was it for you to get that win for him, kind of silence that?
We didn't do it for him. I think it's just the outside noise is the outside noise. We keep it out there in-house. It's pretty harmonious because we understand that we all got to be better. We own that, and we're accountable. And, you know, I think when you approach a game like this, it's a game where you can either look in the mirror and say, how can I be better? Or, you know, you're falling flat in your face. So I thought a lot of guys do that today.
Cam, I can't remember a week where Tomlin has faced so much criticism and outside noise.
You can? There's been plenty of weeks where that happened.
This might be the worst, though, of them. I mean, you know him very well. What did you see from him through the week and his process and his approach?
Just consistent. He didn't get out of character and say, oh, the world is falling, and I mean, the sky's falling, and we have to act completely different. We got to either do this. It's just about, you know, our message is the same. Get better, own your mistakes. You know, everybody talks about what Tomlin needs to do. It's about what the players have to do. And I think starts from our leadership. We own our mistakes, and when we lose, we take it the worst. It shouldn't be Coach Tomlin. Players play, coaches coach.
I know you guys might not be 100% happy with the run defense, but given the response from last week, how happy are you with the way you guys played?
In spurts, we played well. It's just about consistently doing it. Can't wait to go and watch film tomorrow and, just improve on this performance.
Was there a different approach compared to the last time you guys were here, knowing what Lamar Jackson and Derek can do?
Just trying to get multiple hats to the ball. Lamar, Derek, have a lot of respect for those guys. And it takes an 11-man job just to get that job done.
Red zone defense was key today. How much did you guys focus on that throughout the week, and how important was it to stand out in a couple of critical moments?
We understood there were going to be some big plays, but at the end of the day, you got to bow your back and understand that we're not going to give up 7 points. We're really going to fight for three, and if we can, we're going to get zero. And I just love the approach by our guys today. Jalen Ramsey, Patrick Queen, TJ, our leaders amongst really took ownership of that and just stressed that, we're going to make big plays in those big moments.
Cam, Alex hasn't always been in there with you guys. It's just been banged up, but obviously you have to sack on the last play. What does Alex mean to your guys' defense in the front? What does he mean?
We have some of the best rushers in the game. And, TJ, Herb, Alex, I think it's really special to have those guys. And, when one guy's out, other guys get a chance to step up. But, everybody looks for, what's happening, and, this guy's playing well, will the other guy play well? Our guys, they continue to play well. And, it's really fun to watch all of them just thrive out there in different ways, support each other, and just try to get better.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of guys talk about the importance of stacking wins after this.
Yeah.
What's sort of your message, and how do you use this as momentum moving forward?
The goal is to stack. Simple as that. We're back at home, got an extra day, prepare for Miami, but, looking forward to playing a really good team.
Gotcha.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cam. Like that guy said. Thanks, Cam. A very interesting situation from Penn Hills. We'll get into that. We'll grab your calls. There's a bunch on the line. Stay there. I'll get you in just a little bit. That's after news.